Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain, and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
Tired of listening to the same old playlists or podcasts over and over? Maybe it's time to mix things up. Try something new. Hit explore. Avoid the blah and the boring before you even put your headphones in. Add some fun in the mix. Say yabba dabba doo to a bowl of Pebbles cereal and enjoy by the spoonful. Fruity and cocoa Pebbles cereal. Less blah, more yabba dabba doo. Head to your nearest grocery store to buy Pebbles cereal today. The Flintstones and all related characters and elements. Copyright and trademark Hanna-Barbera.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
Now, growing up in the inner city, breaking cycles of addiction and gentrification, these are topics which come up for discussion on the Talking Bollocks podcast, which is approaching the 100th episode mark. Its hosts are with me, Calvin O'Brien. Calvin, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
And Terence Power, good morning to you.
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for having us on.
How did this podcast come about? Because, I mean, there's no doubting its success. You were voted the listener's choice podcast.
Yeah, against some of the biggest podcasts in the country as well, which is crazy. The support we get is nuts. But
and there were 40,000 in that electorate.
Yeah. It's mad to think about, isn't it? But I had an idea. I always wanted to do a podcast, and I knew there was a niche in the market for people from working class backgrounds to go on and speak about the areas and talk about the good and the bad. So I knew that niche was in the market, and I put the idea to Calvin, and he ran away with it.
Yeah. Okay, so how do you go from an idea to actually getting it out there and having it on all the platforms?
So I know a friend of mine, he actually emigrated to Canada, and he done a podcast basically about what it's like emigrating and living abroad. So I reached out to him and I said, what do you need to actually set up a podcast? I thought it'd be very technical and you need loads of equipment. Turns out, once you have a recorder app on your phone, that's all you need. So I said to Terence, this is the day we're doing it. This is where we're doing it, which was my ma's kitchen. Put the phone down, hit record, and then we were off to the races back.
Okay, now, were you two friends growing up?
No.
Now, you came from Dorset Street.
Dorset Street,
and you lived on Infirmary Road, as I just discovered during the break, where I lived growing up. And you were from Sean McDermott Street.
Yeah.
So your paths did not cross.
No, but we'd have the same kind of extended circle of friends.
So yeah, mutual friends,
yeah.
So when did the meeting of minds happen?
During lockdown. So we'd have been going out and doing sea swims and getting out, trying to sort the head out and doing boxing and stuff like that. We started meeting up more often then, and then we were chatting one morning and I put the idea to him and he got excited. And because I kept putting her off and putting her back, and Calvin was like, no, Monday, the kids are going getting out of the gaff and we're going to go into the kitchen and record. And that's what happened.
Okay, now your themes. Like, you're sitting there, you've got the recording device on your phone. What in God's name are we going to talk about?
Yeah, basically that's kind of what it was. And we had one or two things that we wanted to bring up and that were kind of relevant at the time. And we just gave our take on it. People kind of enjoyed it. They liked the banter back and forth. And we put it out. And I was like, you know what? If a few people enjoy it, like friends and family, people in the area, so be it. That's good enough for me. But the first episode we put out was trending number one on Spotify within like 3 or 4 days, and I was like, oh no.
So how did it spread, the word of mouth? I mean, was it primarily in your own area, first of all, and then
basically. And social media was a big part to play in that, and it was just when episode one started trending number one, I was like, we're going to have to do another episode, and I was like, what are we going to do? And then I was like, do you know what, like, our area gets a bad shake of the whip in media, and we're like, let's go on and address these things and bring people in who have similar stories to ours but are successful, because they always highlight the negative. So let's show these people from our areas and externally as well, Pat, that it's not all doom and gloom in here. We actually are good people.
Yeah. No, it's not that you didn't all have your own challenges. I mean, Terence, you actually brought your mum on the podcast.
Yeah.
which must have been sensational listening, first of all, because she's desperately honest about everything that happened to her.
Well, that's why we brought her on, because that story is so relatable and so common in the area where we're from. Although we want to shine a light on the good, there is bad, and we don't shy away from that. But it is the good.
How your mother got through all of her difficulties is the good.
Well, again, that's the rags to riches stories we're talking about, getting people on that come true. You don't have to be a millionaire or have to be famous to come onto the podcast and tell your story. That's a good story. Going from rock bottom, like my mother, obviously, as you said, she was brutally honest. She was sexually abused. She was younger, and that trauma played a part in the life and the path she took. She went through addiction and everything else, and we really struggled growing up. But now she's what, 10, 12 years sober now, and she's more little kids of three other siblings now, two brothers and a sister, and she's great with them. So that's rags to riches. Once you're happy, she can train when she's happy now. That's bigger than anything.
Yeah, now you had your own difficulties as well.
Well, of course, probably the same thing what happened with my mother. Like, when I was growing up then, I was seeing my ma drinking and drugs and parties and violence and stuff like that. So I became a product of my environment also. But I said to myself, I remember thinking, like, that when my mother's mother would have been like that, that whole family, so it would have been generational trauma, and I thought, I need to be the one to break that cycle. I can't go on like this, you know, that type. I don't want a life like this for
Where
my
did that
kids.
Spark come from, though?
Just the depression and stuff like that comes with it, you know, that type of way. Like, that's what happens with addiction. You hit rock bottom and you think there's, like, you can't fall any further than the floor, Pat, you know what I mean? And I was on the floor, like, and I thought to myself, I really need severe help here, or else something's going to happen. I've lost friends to suicide because of addiction. I've lost friends, like, who are locked up in prison, and I've friends, like, from all different ways. And I was looking around me thinking, this is going to be me. It's definitely going to be me.
Your future was already written down.
Exactly. And I thought, look, this can't go on. So I had to make that change. I had to, or else God knows where
I'd
be now.
That must have been absolutely tough if you've got multiple addictions.
Yeah.
And but still the awareness, the self-awareness to say, this cannot go on, or I'm bunched.
Yeah, I was always a clever humble Pat, you know what I mean? I was always aware of my surroundings. Like, I knew what was going on, and I knew what I was doing was wrong. But when you're in addiction, you can't help yourself, you know what I mean? And I used to, every day I'd wake up and I'd be going to the drink and the other stuff as well that comes with it. And I'd be saying to myself, I know this is wrong, but I couldn't help it. And it was only me that could help me, you know what I mean? I had family members pulling me all the time. You need help, you need severe help here. And you don't want to listen to anybody else. And especially when they say it in a condescending sort of way, like, sort yourself out, rather than saying, are you all right, can we do anything for you? You know, that type of way. So there's ways and means about going to somebody who's struggling with addiction. So obviously I went through all that, and I knew I'm the only person who can get myself out of this, and that's what I done, Pat, yeah.
And you did. Now, you've often talked about gentrification of the area, Calvin, and how areas that you grew up in are changing as the encroachment of, you know, apartment buildings for transient workers, a lot of the time tech workers and so on. That's something that's close to your heart.
Yeah, because when you look at Dublin and you look at the identity of Dublin, like, it's a very historical city. We bring in a lot of tourism, but what are they coming here for? You're coming here for the idea of, like, your Molly Malone, your docks, your Moore Streets. And so they're trying to even get rid of Moore Street as it is. And it's stripping that away, Pat, and you're like, well, what are we going to have? Like, I mean, if you look at where we grew up 15 years ago to now, it's like, if you were to take someone out of that area and drop them back in there now, they wouldn't know where they are.
Yeah.
And now imagine what it's going to be like in 10 to 15 years further down the line. You need to realise this city has an identity. There's communities here that have been here for hundreds of years. Like, you can trace your family back hundreds of years in Dublin. And it's, they're taking it away. And for what? Short-term gains.
You know, also, if they push people out into the outer suburbs where maybe, you know, there's nothing to do. And that's what happened historically when they built Tala. They built it without amenities.
Yeah.
The same happened in Ballymun. The same happened before that in Finglas. You know, it's history repeating itself. So you want to keep the indigenous population in the inner city where they've grown up.
Yeah, not necessarily indigenous, but we want to keep the identity of the city there. You know what I mean? You see these historical landmarks and you see these communities and you're like, why are you putting an office block there that's not going to be populated because we have hybrid models? Why are you putting a hotel there when there's already one around the corner? Why are you putting apartments there that nobody can afford when you're not even going to house the people that you're taking out to build the apartment in the first place? So that's what we're trying to, just trying to call attention to that.
Yeah. Now, I've mentioned how successful you are at the podcast and so on, but you've also sold out Vicar Street in the past.
Yeah, we've actually sold out three times now, Pat. We're doing another live show on November the 6th, so that sold out.
It went on sale at 9 o'clock or something and it was gone.
It was gone, in due time. So yeah. we've announced another show. We're doing the 9th of November. Now, that'll be our last show for 2022. The tickets go on sale at 9 tomorrow morning on Ticketmaster. We actually have big plans for next year, so stay tuned.
So when you guys, when you're in the kitchen or wherever you now do your podcasts, maybe it's more sophisticated, is it?
We do it upstairs, Pat.
In this building, part of the Go Loud network, I suppose. When you go on stage in Vicar Street, do you have a script?
No, there's no script.
You don't know what you're going to be talking about.
We've topics that we go off, but like there's not an actual script. See, I think us where the script doesn't work too well, because I think if you're going by the script and you miss one thing, you can go all off. So you have a topic, it could be anything. Let's say news talk, you go out and say, right, we're going to go mention news talk, mention this and mention this, and then run away with it. So we'll put one word down and we'll run away with that for 10 or 15 minutes. You know the type of way.
Now, do you react with the audience?
Definitely, yeah. The audience make it, Pat. Like, you can plan as much as you want, but you can't plan for who's going to be in the crowd.
Yeah, and which of you is better at dealing with the hecklers? Because, I mean, a lot of them are good-natured hecklers. They just want to get a rise out of you guys.
Yeah, they're just not as funny as they think they are, Pat. That's the problem. Yeah. Everyone wants to be a comedian in the crowd, you know what I mean? So it gets out of hand sometimes, but I think that's the joy of it. I love it, you know, that type of way.
So you like, both of you like kind of living on the edge of that performance.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. But like that's what I'm saying. Like I often say to Terrence, like, nobody can prepare you for what we've done. Like, we're doing live shows in front of audiences. Like, a year ago, we would have been like, what are you talking about? Like, there's 1,100 people there coming to see us. We're not professionals in this game. We didn't grow up playing music or anything like that. You can't be prepared for these shows. But now we're just dropped into it. And now people are expecting you to become familiar with it. We'd be rattled, Pat. Waiting in the wings there and the music's playing, you're getting introduced. I'd be literally on edge. My nerves to be through the roof.
And then once you get going.
So I always say the worst time on the day of a live show is 7:59, and the best time is 8 o'clock, because then you're on the stage. So getting to the stage is the worst. So the build up, everything there, you're thinking all these thoughts running through your head. What if this goes wrong? What if this happens? Blah blah blah. And then you hear your name gets called out. You walk out onto the stage. The crowd roars. There's a big surge of energy, and you're just like, this is it. This is what we're here for.
Yeah. What was it like the first time you did that? I mean, now you know you can do it, even though it's walking the tightrope every night. You never know what you're going to say. What was it like the very first time? Who suggested to you, by the way, you could fill Vicar Street?
The fans.
But we did Liberty Hall first. So that's a 400 capacity seater. Yeah. So we did that first, and then there was a huge demand after that. That show went really well. That'll always be my favourite, I think, but that went really well. So after that, then there was a huge demand. Then the 400 there probably want to come back, and it's so many more who didn't get that ticket. So we were like, we try Vicar Street, and then it sold out in half an hour or something like that. And then it's going quicker and quicker. Yeah. It's getting.
The thing is that if you went to see Garth Brooks on Monday and then on a Tuesday, you'd get the same show.
Exactly. Yeah.
With you guys, I could go probably every night of the week. So that's, and it would be different every night.
We actually had to address that. So a lot of people have reached out to us and be like, will it be the same show on both nights in November? And it won't be. Every show that we do is completely unique. And as I said, the stuff there that we can't plan for, you know what I mean? Like, even the guests, we don't know what the guests are liable to do. We don't know what the crowd is liable to do with reaction. So things just happen on the fly and you just have to run with it.
Now, it's not just the two of you rabbiting at each other. You have guests on the podcast. Who's your favourite guest?
Personally, my favourite guest would have been Terrence's Matt, because the magnitude of that episode, and there were some beautiful moments in that. But we've had some big names, and we have some big names coming up as well. Like, we're currently in the works of talking to a couple of people. We won't say many names, but
yeah.
All right, and the podcast, I mean, once a week you are committed to?
Once a week, yeah.
Yeah, that sometimes that must be a bit onerous, particularly when you're going into Vicar Street and all that, you know?
Well, yeah, so this is, it's kind of good, it's good, it has its ups and its downs. So it's good in the fact that it keeps our feet on the ground. We come in, we do a podcast, it goes out and we're like, right, what's next week, let's go. And the bad thing is, you can't really focus. You can't get hung up on the negative parts.
And your topics can be very broad. I mean, you did a fantastic one with Sarah Grace, the survivor of sexual assault.
Yeah, that was probably the most difficult chat I've ever had to experience, Pat. Like, I sat there, I remember my legs were shaking, my palms were sweating, and I was thinking, like, geez, like, when you heard it coming from her, and she is an absolute diamond of a woman, what she's gone through and the fact she can talk about it openly as if it wasn't even her she's talking about.
Yeah. I must say, I have to thank you for, you know, giving me the excuse to say bollocks on air several times, which I haven't had the chance to do before. The hosts of the Talking Bollocks podcast, Calvin O'Brien and Terence Power. Look, thank you guys very much for joining us in the studio today.
Thanks for having us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Back pain and stiffness made mornings rough.
Pain made it tough to sleep until I started Cosentyx.
Cosentyx secukinumab is the number one prescribed treatment for adults that targets IL-17A, a molecule that may play a role in inflammation that contributes to ankylosing spondyloarthritis or non-radiographic axial spondyloarthritis, two types of inflammatory arthritis of the spine. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
I got real relief with Cosentyx.